This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:49, Monday, the 1st of August. But in the meantime, let's talk about the chicken export ban, because the poultry industry has, in some way, been a victim of the government's several policy U-turns and conflicting messages. Now, in early July, we saw the decision to halt the export of chickens to Singapore and for it to be partly eased after several weeks by resuming the export of live premium chickens.
And just 2 days ago, the government announced that the new R9.40 per kg ceiling price on chicken will be reviewed again after it ends on the 31st of August. Agriculture and Food Industries Minister Ronald Kiandi said the government will study whether to maintain the subsidy, float the price, or reopen the export of whole chickens abroad. But do price controls and export bans resolve the chicken shortage and inflation in Malaysia? And how could the government assist local chicken farmers?
For some thoughts, we have on the line with this, YB On Ken Ming, Member of Parliament for Bangi and DAP spokesperson for International Trade and Industry. Good morning, Ken Ming. Now, you stated that the Malaysia's export ban on chickens has done long-term economic damage to Malaysian farmers, as other countries have now looked elsewhere for their supply of chickens. Can you share the depth and breadth of that damage?
Hi, good morning. Malaysia exports about 10% of our live chickens to Singapore. That is our main export market. It is not just an important export market, but it's also a very important foreign exchange earner for our chicken producers, because they can sell at a higher price. And this basically helps subsidize some of the challenges and economic constraints that many of these chicken farmers are facing domestically. So we've seen how Singapore has already announced alternative supplies coming from Australia, Brazil, Thailand, Indonesia, and also the possible setting up of chicken farms in Batam Island to supply live chickens to Singapore. So I'm afraid that we may have lost as much as 10% of the Singapore market that used to import about 30% of their live chickens from Malaysia.
So, you know, in your memo last week, you did say that you had proposed a couple of initiatives, right, basically to curb inflation of chicken prices. But when you look back, right, when you look at the government's actions in the past, right, which were the actions that were most damaging and was a lose-lose situation to both the farmer and consumer?
I think the main thing was not understanding the underlying cost pressures and labor issues that the industry was facing. So if you see the increases that the government allowed each time that the industry gave some feedback to the government was about a 5% increase in the ceiling price, whereas the underlying cost structure for these companies was increasing by 10, 20, even 30% as a result of increased fuel prices, global fuel prices, as well as the increase in the chicken feed, which was up by, more than 50% over the past 2 years. So when the price revisions were of that nature, definitely the chicken farmers would not be able to cover a lot of their losses, a lot of their economic costs. And I think this is, degenerated in a situation whereby many of the chicken farmers felt that they could not supply enough to the market. And that's why there was the knee-jerk reaction of this export ban.
And Ken Ming, you've marked out clearly 6 policy measures which range from better financing to productivity improvement and cost structure improvements as well. But are these measures at the end of the day relatively insignificant unless the government allows markets to dictate prices?
I think given the inflationary pressures that that Malaysia is facing and also other countries are facing, it may not be so politically acceptable to allow markets to dictate 100%. But definitely having a more gradual price increase over time would take away some of these cost pressures for the chicken farmers. But one of the things that I really wanted to highlight is the fact that we can actually increase our food security in Malaysia by making Malaysia much more resilient from an export perspective. So if you look at countries such as Thailand as well as Vietnam, they are self-sufficient in rice production, partly because they are also export countries for rice. So if, let's say, we, through our different agencies, whether it's the Ministry for Agriculture and Food Industries or the Ministry of International Trade and Industry, can ex- explore expanding the markets for various chicken-related products. This would also increase food, food security and chicken supply domestically, and also be able to allow some of our chicken farmers to have better economics to fund some of their domestic expansion programs.
Yeah, I hear you, Kian Ming, but if I'm a chicken farmer and I'm not allowed to raise my prices according to, you know, the cost items which are increasing, why would I want to even venture into expanding my business and considering it for export markets, right?
Yeah, sure. That's why one of the points I raised, one of the 6 points, was for the government to understand the underlying cost structure of chicken farmers and not just try to blame it on the so-called cartels or monopolies that are trying to control the chicken prices. This is one of the key areas. But also something else I highlighted was looking for strategic partnerships with state governments and also land-owning government-linked companies to identify new areas for chicken farms. And I think this is where this kind of coordination is needed. When you have different entities coming into the picture with the government playing some role, some partnership role, I think this will also increase the understanding on the part of government of the underlying cost structures of these kinds of ventures.
But Kian Ming, at the end of the day, isn't the solution to all this just having a comprehensive targeted subsidy program rather than offering price controls across certain food groups? Because the point is, not everybody should benefit from this, right?
Yes, agree. I think the call for subsidy rationalization and targeting has been issued by different economists, different people who are looking at the government finances. And I think in my capacity as a member of the Parliamentary Select Committee for Finance and Economy, we have also heard the Ministry of Finance wanting to move towards this targeted subsidy approach. But whether or not this can be implemented in a timely fashion, especially considering that the general elections are coming up either this year or next year, I think it's still something that's not easy to handle from a policy perspective.
And can we get your thoughts on the recent power disruptions that took place around Klang Valley and Johor? You know, presumably economic impact was quite limited, but does this speak to the broader concern that the infrastructure or power distribution needs a fundamental relook?
Yes, I think we need to look at the Malaysian Electricity Supply Agreement, or MESI 2.0, that was started by Minister Yeo Bee-in when she was the Minister in charge for energy. And under this MESI 2.0 framework, there was going to be a very significant liberalization of the industry, including separation of transmission, distribution and generation. So this would have been a very positive step in terms of increasing our energy reliance, diversifying the sources of supply, and also having better oversight into the energy generation situation in Malaysia. But sadly, after the change in government in 2020, MESI 2.0 has basically been halted, which means that we have not had any new sort of like structural reforms with regards to the energy sector in Malaysia.
And since we have you on the line, can we talk about the MOU? Because help us, we just had a call with a political commentator, but I want to know your views. Is the MOU dead?
No, it's quite clear that, from the wording of the MOU, it will be extended until Parliament is dissolved, whether it's this year or next year. And we are, on the part of PH, I think the leaders are more than happy to propose as well as talk to the Prime Minister about new reforms. And he has also indicated that he has some unfinished reforms, including political financing that can be implemented before the next general election.
So anti-hopping bill done, check. Political funding, as you were saying, financing, what's the likelihood of that passing?
I think if, let's say, the minister in charge, Dato' Sri Wan Junaidi, can put the same kind of political effort and will into this political financing bill as he did on the anti-hopping law, I think, there would be a decent chance of this at least being cited in Parliament and perhaps passed if the elections are next year in July after the full term.
Thank you for your time. That was YB on Kian Ming, Member of Parliament for Bangi and DAP Spokesperson for International Trade and Industry. Did you know his final comment? Elections next year, end of term. End those of are term, his words.
Well, of course he wants that, isn't it? Pakatan Harapan is pushing for a later election. And I hope by then they would have resolved the chicken issues in this country and that we are seeing prices below 9 ringgit per kg.
I don't know about the 9 ringgit and 40 cents or 30 cents. For me, my biggest wish is for us to actually make some steps in removing the subsidy program that we have now, right? Yeah. And move towards a targeted subsidy. We can ill afford to continue with this. The budget for it is 77.7 billion ringgit. We should really be using that money, or at least saving some of that money to actually improve our fiscal coffers, but at the same time, then shift towards this targeted subsidy program. And why aren't we doing that? Is it a lack of political will? What's the reasons?
I guess that's, I think you're right, you know, a targeted subsidy should be something which is naturally something we can do. You can even broaden it and then naturally narrow it gradually over a period of time. There's so many ways to get there, right?
Yes, and it's a conversation I had with Dato' Johan Marikan, right, from the Ministry of Finance. And yes, the government's making some steps towards it, but I think, can we move a little bit faster? Do we have to really wait for general elections? What's the reason for the delay? Is it political will? Questions I think nobody can really answer for us. But up next, of course, we've got the KLCI opening, as well as Global Market Insights with Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Up next, we've got the 8 a.m. News Bulletin, and after that, Shazana Mokhtar speaks to Sanjay Deshmukh, Senior Regional Vice President for ASEAN and India of IT company Snowflake. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.